But for us, mostly in North America, it's a recreational activity. And so we continue with that theme through this season. Camping through all of my growing up years was one of my all-time favorite experiences. Whether it was camping with family and friends, or going to camp, or directing camp, or camping when I took the kids out from the group home where I worked, I love camping. I don't do it much anymore. And I don't know about you, but one of the most significant things about camping was the food. It was really important. I remember getting up, camping with my dad, and we just had a little tent trailer, sometimes just a tent. And my dad would cut off half a pound of bacon and just throw it in the pan like that, just half that pound, and let it start to sizzle and take it apart and stir it until it was cooked, dump out some of the grease, put in eggs and scramble them up, while we, the kids, were madly trying not to burn the toast over the campfire, you know, in a little metal thing. But nothing tasted as good as that. You know, you might see your breath, you're all bundled up in your jackets, and you're out there sitting at the camp table eating this breakfast that had definitely turned cold by the time you ate it, but nothing tastes better than sitting out there and eating that food. It was simple, and it was beautiful to do that. Other campfire favorites were roasting hot dogs or marshmallows or making s'mores or simple foods. Anybody else have favorites when they're camping? Nobody? Just bacon. Just bacon. Wieners and beans, like just simple stuff, simple camp food. Just cooking and eating outdoors. Fresh cut fish on the cast iron, you know, in the cast iron pan over the fire. Pretty good. Yep. Whatever camping we do, food is essential to that experience. It's really important. We'd often camp with groups of friends when I was a kid, so there were usually lots of people around. And at mealtimes, everybody from each campsite would pull out their food and throw it on the picnic table, and people would help themselves. Just everyone shared while we were together. And everybody had enough. Nobody went without. This was essential to the camping experience. There was always food when you wanted it, people relishing and enjoying enough to sustain them through the camping and the swimming and the playing and everything that you were doing, there was enough. And it's an essential element to creating a good community, a good country, and a good world, making sure that people have enough to sustain a decent life. That's God's design for the world. Think of the whole world as a campground, where everyone receives what they need. If we pull out what we have, place it on the table until everyone is provided for in the world, this one is possible. In fact, it would be a far easier problem to solve than many of the other problems we have in the world. We have enough to feed people. In the Exodus story, in Exodus 16, there is a story of the Israelites camping. Now, they have left Egypt as slaves. They don't know too much about the world or how to build community together. That's part of what being in the wilderness was, building community. And building community often always takes place around food. So the Israelites have taken some food with them and water with them, not realizing they're going to be wandering for years in the desert. And eventually the food and water starts to run out and they haven't gotten any place. And they start worrying, getting concerned about the food they're going to eat. And finally they start complaining to Moses and say, "We're going to be in big trouble here. What are we going to eat? How are we going to survive?" And Moses goes to God and said, "What are we going to eat? How are we going to survive?" And God says, "I'm going to look after that. I will look after that if you pay attention. If you are receptive to what you can receive." And so what God says is, this is what's going to happen. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, there will be food. And there will be enough for everyone. And what I want you to do is I want you to take out your earthen jars, and I want you to put enough food for you and your family in these jars and take it home and use it that day. And the day after that, there will be enough food for you to go and pick up. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, until the sixth day. On the sixth day, I want you to pick up enough for 2 days, because I don't want you to be picking up something on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. So the next morning when the Israelites got up, there was the earth was covered with these fine white flakes. And they took out their jars, and everybody picked up enough for themselves and their family, and they took it home and they used it that day. Some of them didn't use all they had. And the next day when they got up, in those jars, the food had gone bad and was full of maggots. Except on the seventh day. On the sixth day, they picked up twice as much as they needed and used it, and they used it on the seventh day, and it had not gone bad. They had enough. Everyone had enough. They had what they needed, not more and not less than what they needed. And it says that this food tasted heavenly, like flakes, wafers of honey. That's what it tasted like. This is how God provides for us. Enough for our needs, everyone's needs, if it is properly distributed. This is not rocket science. One of the things we aspire to when we go camping, I don't know about you, is you only take as much as you need because you don't want to pack it up and bring it back. So what you aspire to is just pack up what you need, and then when you're done, you hope you don't have much left to bring home and put away. That's what we do when it's camping. How many of you have more than one freezer space that has a lot of food in it that you haven't eaten for a long time? Nobody put up their hand, but I see a lot of. Yeah. Or how many of you have gone through your cupboards and pantries and found food at the back of them that were outdated, that was so outdated that you didn't dare eat it and you wouldn't give it away? Yeah. I've done that too, more times than I like to admit. We have more food than we need. It's not getting evenly distributed. There's a picture, Keith. Just recently for our centennial year, the United Church put out a version, this version, of the Last Supper. It's a bold reimagining of the feast, the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. And this reinterpretation challenges the traditional depictions of the iconic scene and affirms the United Church's belief in an all-encompassing love that embraces each person as their authentic self, and that there is provision for all, that no one is left out. Inspired by the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, the church's reimagining invites reflection on the core values of Christ's church, not just the United Church, that God's love and provision for all is limitless. Everyone, celebrating all backgrounds and identities, has a place at the table and will have enough. Whether it's a picnic table, a blanket on the ground, a communion table, or places we gather in our homes, this reimagined image of the Last Supper serves as a bold testament to the church's vision, to Christ's vision, a table where differences are honored, where diversity is celebrated, and faith is lived through a shared commitment to equity and belonging and enough for everyone, enough for all. We all know this. This is what the church is about, ensuring that God's provision is for all people, no discrimination. Yet the world rarely works like that. Some have excess while others go hungry, and it doesn't have to be that way. How can we ensure food security? and enough for all. Well, we can't do it individually. And we can't fix the world or many things in the world. We don't have the power or the resources. What we can do, though, is do small things. We can pay attention to our own communities and do better at ensuring that people, our neighbors, our community is well taken care of, if we have a will to do that. This week I read about a story about a little boy going with his family to the food bank. And while they were there, they got some olives. And the little boy was thrilled. He said when he was going out, so excited, "I can't believe we got olives at the food bank." Olives, things that most of us can have if we want them. And he was delighted to have these olives. It's such a small thing to bring joy. So I'm going to put this out. This has to be a tangible thing we do, not something we think about. We don't have to think too hard about this one. What if every time we went to the grocery store, if we can afford it, not only do we buy our own, and a lot of people go more than once. How many go more than once a week to the grocery store? Lots of people, right? Every time we go to the grocery store, we pick up something for the food bank. One thing, maybe. And what if we also decided that all the food we buy, we use? We do not waste anything. We look in our cupboards or we clean our cupboards till we've eaten everything in it, and then we just buy what we need. So there's no waste. Consume what we bought before it expires. Two things, very easy to do. We can do it for our community and we can do it for our planet. So I am, at least for summer, until after, maybe longer, but until after Labor Day weekend, I'm going to set up in the foyer some shelves. And I'm going to call it the Olives for Kids shelf. I stopped and got 2 jars of olives today. Set up some shelves. And what I'm going to invite you to do when you come is to bring the food that you collected for the food bank and put it on the shelves. And then we'll make sure, at least monthly, to get those that food to. So don't bring perishables, cans, jars, that sort of thing. We'll put them on the shelves. If you need something or you know of somebody who needs something in your community, take food off the shelf and take it to them. Or bring it and put it on the shelf and we'll get it to the food bank. One thing we can do every time we go to the grocery store, pick up something. Because there is enough in the world for everyone to eat adequately, to have enough. When we feel that things are beyond our control, this is one problem that we can actually do something about, something valuable and concrete. God provides these things through us, through our hearts and hands. May it be so. Let's take a moment of silence.